Community Connections. CPMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local. Your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections. CKMS.
Happy Monday, Waterloo Region. You're listening to CKMS Community Connections for the 10th of August, 2026. In the studio with me are Luli and Marcia from Run for Office WR.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello, Bob. Thank you for having us.
We'll be talking to you.
This is Marcia. Thank you, Bob, for the wonderful invitation.
You're very welcome.
To attend today.
Talking to you in great detail in just a few minutes. Going to listen to something called My Numb Finger by Firefly. Firefly with My Numb Finger, fairly recent music from KW Content musicians, musicians from Kitchener, Cambridge, Waterloo, and the surrounding townships. Okay. In the studio with me are Luli and Marcia from Run for Office WR, which sounds pretty obvious. You're going to encourage people to run for office in Waterloo Region, but well, it's more than that.
Yes, it is indeed more than that. While we are hoping in the long term to have more people running for office, the goal here is to have people actually voting in the first instance. Because when you look at the last election, the voter turnout was about 25%, which is not the most optimal of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping that if we can increase the voter turnout this year, and that's why our Project 3000 was introduced, an initiative that's working to have at least 3,000 new voters by the October election, that will help us out in, again, having more people running for office in that instance.
And how has it been? Have you encouraged 3,000 people to come out and vote?
I don't think we've reached our goal yet, but however, it is a goal that, in a way, we're pushing. We're encouraging people to register to vote. We are out in the community at the various festivals and other places that we're being invited to, because we know that if we don't get the kind of civic engagement that we need to build our community and keep our community safe, we're headed in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. We need to head in the right direction, which is to encourage people to vote And by extension, once they vote and they begin to understand the importance of it, especially at the municipal level, that we can then get new candidates for future elections, even if we don't have them for this one, the next municipal election. And of course, we're going to have provincial elections and federal elections. Mm-hmm. We're not sure when we're going to get either, but we know that they're down the road. But civic engagement starts at the local level. We know that. And we know that since COVID, volunteering in particular has decreased.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's decreased at a time, now that we are past COVID, that we need a lot of those volunteers. And being involved in the voting process is also one of those ways that one can volunteer. As I'm a volunteer, I'm a retired secondary school teacher, and to me, this is something that I can get my teeth into in terms of helping people to understand their community, understand what it is, the roles of the various levels of government, in this case, mayors, councillors, regional councillors, that kind of thing. Because we know from talking to people that they really don't know. Many of them don't know who their ward councillor is.
Right.
If you ask them who their mayor is, some of them may know. Do they know what a mayor does? No. Do they know what a councillor does? No. And so when you get all those no's, then that's why people are disengaged.
Yeah.
We need to get yeses to most of that.
Yeah.
And so we need to collaborate, and this is one way of doing that, is bringing people together and helping them to understand that the process can work,
right,
but we need you to vote.
So aside from the electoral process,
yes.
You say that civic engagement is important. Do people even understand what civic engagement means?
Yeah, you know what? That's part of what we're doing. We notice that if you talk to people one-on-one and you ask them what's really important to you in this community today, they'll tell you what some of the issues are. So, for example, they'll talk about homelessness. They'll talk about the cost of housing. Affordability, you know, those issues, and also some of them will talk to you about health and well-being and about the fact we're going to get a new hospital. What will that mean to me? You know, how costly is that going to be? So there are all kinds of questions that people have. And because we have these people called councillors and mayors and so forth, yes, a lot of them are out and about. But more often than not, they're not out and about, especially in the places that we were this summer.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't there. And we were the people that they were asking those questions of. And so we realized that in order to engage our community, we need to be out there. We need to be having conversation. And people need to feel not afraid to ask questions, because there really are no dumb questions. You know what I mean?
No.
Especially when it comes to your community. Because again, you come to a community. I know that when I think about my family, came to Canada in the 60s, and they came because it was this place that said it was going to be safe and it was going to provide an education for their children and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in this community since 82, and the same, every group of people that I meet, no matter where they've come from, they're coming essentially for the same reasons. They're coming because this area, it gives people the impression that it's going to be safe, it's going to be a place that I can afford to buy a house, if I want to buy a house, and that I'll be able to have a half decent schools to send my children to, and indeed have a job, right, and feel relatively safe and all of those things. So people essentially come for the same reasons, no matter where they come from.
Yeah.
But we know that the issues that are affecting people the most, affordability of housing, homelessness, safe and equitable communities, food safety, or food security, I should say, and poverty, health and well-being, even transit and unemployment have shown up in some of the informal surveys that we've been doing with people over the last 5 years.
Right.
Because we've been around since 2020, very quietly, started out very small, and Lulia is now our student coordinator of public outreach.
Mm-hmm.
We've progressed a little bit, so it's not just me and this older person and my two other colleagues who work full-time. So we know now that it's really important that people get this information and that they get it in a very unthreatening kind of way.
Right.
And that's the other piece, because, again, people come from different parts of the world. They take out citizenship, yes, but they don't always vote.
Mm.
All right? So we're trying to encourage those new people
who've
taken out citizenship, said yes to Waterloo Region, but we now need them to vote.
One of the obligations of citizenship is to be engaged, not just civically, but provincially, federally, at all levels of not just government, but in the community.
Yeah, we want people to be, even if it's a small role that you can play, and I know many people play the role of the coach, to their child's soccer team mm-hmm. or baseball team and that kind of thing, or hockey, if hockey is your thing. And, of course, basketball, because that's the other one, and soccer now, because we just had the World Cup. So we know that people do those kinds of things. Those are important as well. But we also know that there are other roles that we have for people in our community, in terms of helping out one another, even knowing who your neighbors are, you know?
Yeah,
if you live in an apartment building, more often than not, we know the people may not know the people down the hall. They may know the people on either side of their right. apartment, but do they know the people down the hall? They might say hi to them in the elevator, or, you know, their eyes cross with one another. But we need to know who's there with yeah. us, and we never know. We might be making a new friend and being able to help our community move forward.
Yeah. So. What I've heard called the vertical neighborhood.
Yes, yes. And I live in one of those. Yeah. Not too high, but I live in one, and I know who my neighbors are.
Good.
Yeah. yeah.
Good. Yeah, not everybody does.
No, but no. We need to know who our neighbors are.
Yeah. yeah. You mentioned that the demographic that is generally civically engaged
yes.
are the gray hair crowd.
Yeah, if you check out through StatsCan and through other engagement measures, it looks as if homeowners and people over 50 are the ones who tend to vote in elections. Yes, many people who have children are indeed voting, but the group that we know is not voting too much, and that's the younger people. Our Gen right. Z and some of our millennials, they're not voting.
Right.
And we need them to vote.
Right.
We need them to become civically engaged. And we also know that many of the people who run our municipal government and have various jobs, maybe in the next 10 years, many of them are retiring.
Right.
So we need people to get trained in some of those skill sets that we're going to need in municipal government,
right.
in provincial government, in federal government, although we know that there's this move to decrease the size of government.
Yeah.
But we're still going to need skilled people to run various things.
Right.
You know, water treatment came
yeah,
up
yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
recently,
mm-hmm.
and the change in garbage, all kinds of things
right.
we're going to need. Very skilled people
yeah.
to be planning how we're going to move forward.
Yeah. So, Lulia, you're not part of the gray-haired crowd. How did you get involved? What made you decide you wanted to be civically engaged to this level of engagement?
That's a good question there. I was actually going to add to what Marcia was saying that, yes, we do have, you know, the gray hair crowd that's way more politically engaged in that sense. But we're also seeing a lot of youth that are also very interested in the work that we're doing. We have a lot of youth volunteers that starting in high school and are just very interested in. The disconnect that we have is we're not entirely sure how well the governance here affects us, right? We're not sure how much it affects our daily lives. And then once I have a conversation with a youth, a student, and I say, well, did you know that, you know, your parents are maybe paying for a bus pass that may cost them, I don't know, close to $100 a month? And they're like, okay. And I'm like, that is actually the, you know, the responsibility of the regional government. And they're like, okay. And then they're like, well, who decided, you know, the price of $100 is, you know, is affordable? That's what I should be paying. And I'm like, well, if you'd voted, or if your parents had voted in time, then maybe that would have been a discussion that, or an issue that would have
yeah.
been brought up.
Now, to be fair, even the people who don't vote still yeah. get the representation from the councillors, from the region, from the municipality.
And they get it regardless of whether they voted or not. But the hope is that they do vote, that they don't only reach out to their councillors when they've got a problem.
Right.
I think what we need people to do is to feel comfortable enough to give constructive criticism from time to time, and also to give ideas, because yes, our councillors step up and they get elected and so forth, but they're not the only one with ideas about how to improve our community, how to keep it safe. We need to make sure that the door is open, or that the ears are open to hearing what it is that people might want to contribute, and not to be intimidated by whatever the processes are. And that's also part of what I call civic engagement, is feeling comfortable enough to be able to say, you know what, I think I have an idea about how to improve this, or, you know, something else on my street that needs to be
mm-hmm.
taken care of. I need you to listen to what I'm saying, and I'm hoping that we will get lots of new people running for office
right.
in this municipal election. And I see that the list is getting a little longer, because they have until the end of August to
yeah.
step up.
August 21st, actually, not even the end.
Yes, yeah, yes, August 21st, which is, you know, not that far away.
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks to go. And we want people to feel that it's comfortable enough to reach out and to say, this is what I think is important. And as I said, we've listened to people tell us what kinds of issues are really important
mm-hmm.
to them. And I'm sure there are many more. I mean, because you've got people who are into bike lanes and various other things that are going on.
Well, some of the good things, you know.
Yeah.
Like, block parties and festivals and all those things fall under the purview of council as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Things like noise bylaws and all of those kinds of things. So I know about some of that. I think one of the things that we want to encourage people to do is to continue to write letters to say what's working and what's not.
Yeah.
That being involved in any kind of campaigns that are going on in the community to improve things, even participating in protests and rallies around an issue that is important to you, and doing it responsibly. And signing petitions is also another way that we can become involved. And visiting our various councils. You can visit them online now. You don't have to go to the councils.
Right.
You can pretty well tune in to the various meetings because most of them are online. And if you didn't watch one, you can catch it by going to the website and seeing the previous meeting or the ones, see the schedule, all of those kinds of things. And we know that younger people are more interested in seeing some of the things via social media, whether it's, you know, not Facebook, because that's for older people.
Is it?
Yes. It's now either TikTok and various other, you know, ones, because, again, it's not the ones that I'm necessarily aware of, but they know which ones that they want to get their information from. And we just need to make sure that we put it there and encourage them to give us some feedback. So I think that's the least that we can do. And as I said, I'm really gung-ho about getting the younger vote out, and that's one of the reasons why we have a bright young person doing outreach and encouraging student volunteers who we know in order to graduate high school you need 40 hours of community service, and we're more than willing to have students come and spend some time with us, and a couple of hours we always try to feed them and give them a t-shirt when they're leaving. And if they like to volunteer with us more than once, we sometimes even give them an honorarium for that.
Yeah.
Because we know students need money, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But that's one of the ways of getting engaged with the younger group and having one-on-one conversation. It's amazing how far that can go. You know?
So having this campaign launch in the summer
has
got to be a bit of a detriment for reaching out to students.
Well, in a way, not, because we have a number of students who are still here, and they attend various summer festivals. They love summer festivals, right? And music and all of those kinds of things. So that's what we do. We, you know, if it's not me, it's other members of our crew or our volunteers go to summer festivals and get an opportunity to interact with younger people as well as the older ones, okay?
And we have a lot of them that, you know, are also staying over, and most of them might be high school students as well, that, you know, go to the local high schools in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice way for them to be acquainted with their region as well, their home. And so they learn, you know, they get to meet other counselors, and it's their way of, you know, engaging with, like, you know, the civic governance that you really have. And it's always like, oh, I did not make them a counselor. It's always a fun thing for them to learn about their wards and what their townships does, and it's fun.
I think I want to delve into that a little bit more, find out exactly what sort of programs and events you're putting on. I'd like to do first, though, to play another piece of music. This is a group called Awake and Dreaming, who were in the studio with us last year. This is a new song called Antidote.
Flashes across
That's Antidote, yeah, by Awake and Dreaming. New music, relatively new music at any rate, sometime within the last year. Hope to have more music by them, maybe on another day. In the studio with me are Lulia and Marcia from Run for Office WR.
Hello. Once again.
We were talking about some of the activities that you're putting on to encourage people to vote.
That is right, yes. Yeah,
and you've got something happening, once a month, first Friday of every month?
Yes. So we have this event called the Guest Speaker Series, which is an event where we invite someone that has run for office before, and whether they've successfully entered office or not is not necessarily the focus, mm-hmm. but it's more so someone that has run for office and can give us some sort of insight. And then we host it at the University of Waterloo. It's been happening since April, and it's on the first Friday of every month.
Right.
And it's going to go up until October. And, you know, well, we just had Marjorie Knight last week, mm-hmm. and it was amazing. Like always, we've had, you know, we give people food, and we have a lot of open networking, okay. and it's open to various members of the community. And the goal here is to let people know that politics and, you know, government is not so far away or so distant in the future, but it's something that's very closer to you and something you can, I guess, in some cases even touch, because you have someone that has run for office before there to come and tell you about their insight and their experiences and how they found, you know, having a campaign, etc. And we do have a focus on having a candidate that might be diverse or come from an African, Korean, or Black community, or, you know, come from an underrepresented group, as we'd like to say. They might have a much more niche experience than most in some cases.
You know, I just want to add here that one of the things that we're fighting against is we know that some of the research says that politics is boring and, you know, it's not really that engaging. Where's the creativity in politics? Local politics? Are you crazy? That kind of thing. But we know it's really important. There's a saying, what's closest to home is often the furthest from the mind. Right?
Okay,
this is what I got in a democracy exchange summit that I looked at. And that's so true, that people are more interested in what's happening far away than they mm-hmm. are with what is happening close to them. And so by having these first Friday in the month sessions and meeting real people who have actually put themselves out there and telling you some of the good things that happened to them mm-hmm. while they did it, and some of the not so good things, but it at least it's real, you know. It's not something that's far away. It's right there. You can't ignore it. And one of the things that we've noticed is that after the person does their presentation, it's amazing how many questions they get, how many people linger after. Sometimes we wish they'd go home, but they don't want to go home.
They're so busy.
And it's not because we've got more food left, because usually the food is all gone. But there might be something there to drink. But they are so engaged with talking to each other and to the presenter about how they did what they did, whether they were successful or not. It's really, really powerful.
People finally coming to the realization.
Yeah, to realize that this too could happen. You too could do this,
yeah.
you know, is what I think the realization. Again, it's mm-hmm. mostly younger people that are attending these sessions. Yes, we encourage other people to come. But again, it's a way for bringing the young people so that they can see it is possible for them.
We have students, mostly students that come in, and usually by the end of the night, our presenters have to, like, find a way to slip away.
Because otherwise they'll keep wanting to talk to them.
Yeah,
you know?
It's always, we have the speaker session, and then we get to the Q&A, and then after that, there's the open networking round that we have, and even then, it's just questions upon questions. And
so people from the audience just realizing for the very first time that politicians are approachable, civic engagement is not as difficult as they thought, there really is no barrier to running for office.
There isn't. And it's like a mind-opening experience for them. And sometimes you'll have other, you know, politicians that may join us that are attending the event as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very funny thing to see when you see, like, most of them just being engaged in these, like, all these students going from one politician to the other person, and they're just asking some of the most insightful questions you can think of. And it's mainly like, wow, I did not know I could do this, or it's this close. And then they're asking questions like, well, what did you need to start a campaign? Or what did you need to go forth? Like, what was your why? As, you know, Marjorie Knight was sort of hammering down at our last. And some of them were asking, how do we even figure out what the why is so we can run for office? And what do we do? And then there's us, you know, run for office, sort of like pitching into these conversations like, well, you know, at run for office, we offer some services. If you're considering running for office and you're coming from a community that, you know, hasn't run for office before, well, you can come to us and we can give you a consultation and tell you what the process is and what it entails and what you can go and what you can do, sort of these things. And
is this something you do at those Friday night sessions?
We do that after. It depends, because often it's one-on-one that you need to do that, or one-on-two people, two mm-hmm. or three people, who can sit down and say, okay, if you're serious about this, this is where you need to go. These mm-hmm. are some of the steps that you need to take.
Here's your pros and cons.
There's some thinking that one has to really do, because, you know, once you put yourself out there, you know, you have to be prepared for some scrutiny. Some of the scrutiny is not necessarily what you're expecting.
Exactly.
So all of those kinds of things we have to encourage people to do.
Is this like campaign school?
Yes. And you know what?
Sort of a campaign school.
We're prepared to give you the beginnings of that and also send you in the direction of where you can get far more detail. And often that's one of the most useful things is to meet some people who can direct you. And it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with party politics.
The way that I like to think of of these sessions is the minute that you decide, you know, maybe I want to run for office and you may not have people to consult with or talk with, or, you know, sometimes you may have someone that has, you know, run in your neighborhood, but not necessarily around you. So mm-hmm. then when you come to run for office, we'll be like a group of people that will sit with you and decide, well, we know you want to run for office, but why do you want to run for office? What is your why? Have you thought about your pros and cons? Have you thought about in this state of, you know, the life that you are in right now, is this what you want to do? On all of these things that, you know, they may have not thought about, that we open their eyes to, and we say, well, okay, you want to start a campaign, that's beautiful. First thing you have to do is file your nomination at City Hall, maybe pay the fee, sometimes it's $100, I believe. And then, you know, there's other things to think about. Have you joined other campaigns? Have you done door-to-door knocking? So many other things that they may not have thought about that we bring their attention to.
Right.
And then if they're like, yes, this is something that I want to do, then we, in some cases, refer them to the next steps that they may have to do.
I guess there's really two streams of learning that take place there. It's learning how to run a campaign, learning how to run for office, but also learning all the issues that need to be dealt with once you've elected to the office.
Yeah. Well, number one, I think one of the key skills that anybody who wants to do this kind of work or provide this kind of community service is you've got to learn to listen. You really have to listen, and sometimes you have to listen to things that or people that don't necessarily jive with your values. But if indeed they are part of the community that you are expecting to represent, you're going to have to listen to them as well and be quite respectful. And sometimes you have to be direct and say, you know what, I appreciate your point of view, but I don't agree with it. You know what I mean? And that's okay.
That could be very encouraging.
Yeah, it would be. I think most people would be quite respecting of that.
Yes.
You know, and wouldn't be the kind who would slam the door in your face, if you know what I mean. They'd be the kind of person say, well, all right, you know what, here's somebody who's willing to at least listen to me. And maybe I should consider voting for them, because at least I know that there's a door open there when I need somebody to talk to. It really breeds a community that is relatively safe for most people. It's okay to have people who don't agree with you. You're never going to have everybody agree with you. And that's one of the things that we've learned, or we are learning, is that that's meaningful participation involves, you know, listening to individuals and recognizing that not everybody is going to think the same, that kind of thing. It's hard, but it's hard but rewarding work to do. At least I'm finding what we're doing quite rewarding, and it can be a challenge at times because we have encountered some individuals who were saying things that we, you know, our value set would say no, and we're not necessarily telling people which party to be involved with if they're looking to party politics. That's indeed their choice. But we are saying that you need to understand very clearly, if you're going to run for any office, whether it's municipally, provincially, or federally, you have to know your why. Why are you doing this? And what is the red line for you? Everybody's got to know where did things stop. You can't go beyond. You need to be able to articulate that for yourself, and also probably share that with others.
To express that with the potential voters out there, because
exactly.
I think they really appreciate somebody who can say, this is not something I'm willing to do for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, that sometimes sways the votes in your own direction. You know?
Exactly, as opposed to away from you. There is this stereotype of politician, people mm-hmm. who use language and say nothing, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're at a time in our development as a nation and as a community. We haven't got time for that now. Things are moving so rapidly that we need to make sure that when we're doing something or when we're presenting something, that we're real.
Yeah.
We're giving people the real goods.
Does the plain-speaking politician still exist?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm seeing a few, and I'm hoping to cast my vote for a few.
Okay. Good.
You know, whether they will be successful or not, I don't know. But I'm willing to put my vote. And I have to tell you, I've voted since I was 18. I mean, it was right. something that my family did. And I'm talking to others, and they're telling their children, make sure that you've turned 18. Even if you're not home, you need to find out what's going on in the community where you're studying or where you're living, and make sure you vote. So
yeah.
we're trying to do the same.
That is true.
Yeah,
I voted in every election that I've been able to vote in, except one.
Yes.
And that was a disastrous one because the provincial government changed over and became terrible. So it was all my fault, and I'm sorry to everybody for not having voted in that election.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sometimes it happens, you know. Sometimes a single vote can make a difference.
That is true.
Well,
is true.
You know, we've had federally, I think we had a couple of situations. Wasn't there one in Quebec just recently? There was either one or two votes. Yeah, mm-hmm. It can come down to that.
But even right here in Kitchener, back in 2010, 2012 maybe, there was one ward that was decided by a single vote.
Well.
So, you know, it happens here too.
It was in Kitchener, right?
It was the Victoria Park riding.
Okay, so that would be Kitchener.
Yeah, that's Kitchener.
Yeah.
It still happens to this day. If you look at some of the voter turnout, for example, if the voter turnout here was 25% in, you know, the region of Waterloo, in some wards, especially in the townships, the people that have not run for office, there's just certain wards that are empty, no candidate, no whatever.
Yes.
But then in some of these races, one vote, two votes, 35 votes, and that's all that it is.
Yeah.
So it still happens to this day. It's not like, you know, a relic of the past in that sense. And that's why whenever we're having our discussions and we're talking to people and they say, well, I don't know, why would my vote even matter in that sense? It's just one vote. We always push down and hammer down this message of, well, you know, your votes matter, your voices matter, and you belong in these political spaces. You must be engaged in these discussions, and you need to realize one vote is, you know, one vote among many, and it counts and it matters just as much.
Mm-hmm. So, it's very distressing to see the number of vacancies that still exist in some of the ridings.
Yes.
Looking at Wellesley, for example, who have no candidates yet in Ward 1 or Ward 2 or Ward 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A number of the incumbents who have not yet declared their intention to run or their intention to not seek office again. So, you know, your work is cut out for you.
Oh, well, we know, and that's fine. We signed on for this.
Yes,
we do. And we're kind of excited about the fact that in our conversations with people, we're really trying to help them understand that maybe it's too bad that we only get to vote every 4 years. You do it and then you forget about it. Well, you really can't afford to forget about it, because what you voted for or against is going to influence your life or how the community is going to run. So you really do need to be paying more attention. So, for example, I know in the city of Toronto, they have created a Center for Democracy, and they've done it through the public library system.
Okay.
And so people are learning about democracy on a regular basis. Each of the libraries have opportunities for people to learn about democracy and how it works locally.
It's a continuous program, not just
during election period. Yes, a continuous program. It doesn't run just every 4 years when we're voting.
Okay.
So we're keeping voting up on the top of the brain as opposed to in the back of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that we can engage people all the time and not just some of the time. We can help them understand policy development. Maybe, you know, as one of the librarians said, maybe municipal politics isn't sexy. That's why people don't really want to know. And if it was, maybe, boy, we would really catch people's attention. I guess they're trying in the city of Toronto with the Democracy Center through the Toronto Public Library System.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to do it. I would suspect that we here, too, in our library systems, are trying to engage people using library facilities to hold various town halls and various other things. I think it is something that we need to keep going and not just have us think about it, you know, every 4 years or every however many years it is between elections.
Right.
It's really important that we make it accessible and fun, perhaps. Maybe that's what the problem is. There's not enough fun.
No, it's all serious business. Councillors deal with important issues that are generally of a serious nature.
Well,
fire services,
still,
police
people
services.
Still, you know what? If life becomes too boring, then, you know, again, they'll use that label around politics.
Yeah.
I just think we need to, if we engage more with one another, we'll find the fun. We'll find the joke that's appropriate, if you know what I mean.
One of the things that you do get, being a councillor, is you get invited to all sorts of local events.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Block parties, festivals.
Yes.
Barbecues.
Yes. Barbecues, yes. Openings of businesses. And,
well, they certainly get lots of invitations to eat food.
Oh, that's true.
You know? Yes. I guess I have to watch the waistline at a certain point. But anyway, no, it's important to recognize that, yes, counselors get invited to all kinds of things. When they get invited, that hopefully they're all listening. And anybody who wants to become a counselor needs to recognize that listening is probably, and telling people why you want to do it, is really probably the most important thing. Some of the other stuff will fall into place.
That is true.
Like the campaign, the small group that helps you with your campaign.
That is true.
And finding about the money and all of those things. I mean, Elections Canada or Elections Ontario, it's pretty well laid out what you have to do if you're running for a particular position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that piece is pretty straightforward, and you just need to make sure you're familiar with all of it because you're responsible for all
right.
of it. You know, so.
So in the case of municipal politics, it's not a party system municipally here in Ontario.
No.
And so you don't have the backing of a large party machine to help you out with a lot of those details, like financial agents and whatnot.
If you are prepared to stand for office, you have to be prepared to say to people who are important to you and who believe in what you're about, say to them that you might need some money from them. All right? Mm-hmm. You have to ask.
Campaign funding
and lots
is,
of people,
is crucial.
Yeah, because how do you finance? You know, a small campaign, if you're going to run for school board trustee, it might cost a few $1,000s by the time you figure out lawn signs and pamphlets and T-shirts, if that's what you're getting into, and multiple thousands of dollars if you're mm-hmm. running for regional council and you're going to represent, you know, be one of the four who represent Kitchener or one of the two that represents Cambridge or one of the two that represents Waterloo. I mean, you might have to put out quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
But at that point, I think you hopefully understand how important it is to get those supporters. You need 25 names anyway of electors to be taken seriously or to be put on the roll of electors, right? It's important that you know how to ask for money. If you're not very wealthy, of course, that makes it even more important.
But politics is a rich person's game because there is a lot of finance campaign money involved.
At the provincial and the federal level, you're right. At the local level of becoming a school board trustee or a city councillor, no, it isn't a huge amount of money.
Okay.
It is some money.
Mm.
And not everybody's going to take out, for example, TV ads. And we've got social media today that's really helping a lot of people. If you know how to use it, and you've got friends who've got those skills, you could do quite well.
I'm trying to follow a lot of people who have declared their candidacy, who have just miserable social media profiles.
Right.
So that's something that a lot of candidates could learn.
Right.
I agree.
You've really got to do your homework around. What is it that I'm going to need in order to get my story out?
Right.
Or get my voice out? You really do have to do your homework and find those creative souls who are supportive of you.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to pay for those skills too.
Yes.
Right. They may not come to you free of charge.
And often you get donations of services in kind that will do that for you. People who want to support a candidate but can't financially afford to do so.
Yeah, but we'll give you their time and their skill.
Exactly.
And their creativity, which is wonderful.
The one piece of advice that we give to candidates that approach us about running for office also is that they have to be visible. And so we always say, you have to be visible, you have to be seen. Whether it's coming to events, whether it's on your social media and you're making sure that you're making it a point to show your potential voters, your people mm-hmm. that will be running your campaign or voting for you, that you're dedicated to the community and you're coming to what needs to be done.
Yeah. Campaign technique called mainstreeting, walking down the street and talking to people who are walking by.
Exactly, like you can't come out of nowhere and decide, I want to run for office in this ward or here.
And yet I see a number of candidates who have registered who I've heard boo from. You can't find them online, can't find them anywhere.
Which is bizarre. I mean, why would you put your name forward when you're not going to have any kind of visibility? That doesn't make any sense. In the ward, maybe you've got people who can go out and take your material and put it in houses, but if people don't get to see you and hear you or see you interacting with any other people, then there's a good possibility that you won't be successful.
Yeah. Want to play some more music?
Sure.
This is Missy Bauman. Fairly new song called Knives.
Of what I thought of what happened, I can seem to realize that sometimes you've got to let it go. So I skated down to Dufferin. I feel metal in my mouth. You make a promise, break a promise when I ask you for your help. Left here with my thoughts, I feel so empty here without you, remembering what I've lost. Surround me with your energy, I miss the way you feel. When the sun corrects the darkness, I just wanna hold your hand in mine, you said. How does it feel to be one of us? How does it feel to be one of us? I've been waiting for the day that you'd walk back into my life, and it sounded so peculiar, but I had to see it right. I hold you close, bite into you, and tell you you feel warm, and you promise me, still promise me, that you'll still hold me closer when it storms. How does it feel to be one of us? How does it feel to be one of us?
Missy Bauman, song called Knives, probably from a year ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
Missy Bauman's in the studio with us a couple of years back. Hope to have her back someday. In the studio with me right now are Marcia and Lulia from, Run for Office Waterloo Region.
Yes.
Yeah. An organization that I thought was pervasive, tremendously large, you know, cross-province, possibly across the entire country, but no.
Yeah.
How big is Run for Office Waterloo Region?
It was started by three of our founders. So there's Marcia, Tapio, and Lanoy. And Marcia is here with us. And then it sort of grew, and we've had our students that have worked with us as well, and then there's me. So in, I would say, about five or six, give or take. As Marcia was saying earlier, that, you know, the notion of our work has sort of grown, and it's across Canada. And mm-hmm. we find that, you know, people find our message to be very important. But it's just been five or six of us.
I see you everywhere.
Yes.
last met you at the Multicultural Festival.
Yes.
But I already had a bookmark in my pocket from maybe the picnic, the Labor Day picnic.
Oh, yes.
Maybe something from another festival earlier in the year.
Yes. Yep.
We've tried to be out wherever. We noticed that once the good weather hits, we have to hit the road.
Yeah.
because we know that that way we'll get a chance to talk to people. Yes, social media is great for whenever, you know, it's cold and that kind of thing. But once the weather gets warm, we need to go where the people are. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've mm-hmm. done. And we know that it's really important for us to interact with the public and for them to know how valuable they are and their participation. Yeah. And I think that's what we've been able to do, that one-on-one and us being physically present in the various places over the course of the good weather, that's really, really helped us a lot. I think we're going to see, although we can't actually count for sure we're going to get the 3,000, but we think we're going to. We know that lots of people have registered as a consequence of our QR code and distribution of our materials. And the electronic voter registration stops on August 12th.
In 2 days.
So it's only 2 days to go, and you can't register anymore online. But you can go to one of the polling offices and get your register there, no problem, on the day that you can vote.
Right.
There's no problem as long as you've got meaningful identification
right.
and you're 18 and you're a Canadian citizen. So there should be no problem with you being able to vote. And we're going to try and help more and more people understand that it's really crucial that you get to vote on October the 26th. This has been an amazing experience to sit down and chat with people. I've been a volunteer since I moved here in 82, and this is probably one of the most exciting volunteer pieces that I've done. Some of the others have been important, but this one is the most personally exciting for
me. It's not unlike running a political campaign itself.
Ah, there you go.
We usually keep that on the low.
No, I mean, years ago I probably would have done, but you know, life again sometimes gets in the way and you can't do certain things. However, you can find other ways to contribute, and so this is my way of contributing to the political process.
Yes.
Did I help somebody else get, you know, elected? Yes, I've been a part of somebody's campaign, and that's tremendously rewarding as well.
Yeah.
When the person wins, and it's also rewarding when they don't, because you learn a lot by being around all of the people and so forth. So in my opinion, this kind of politics is fun. The politics that is not far away. It's not the far away issues, it's the local issues.
Yeah. Local issues are more crucial to the average citizen than the provincial or the federal issues. I mean, there's that pipeline going out west, which is an important, high-profile federal issue.
Yes.
But it's not directly going to affect you as much as a pothole in front of your driveway.
No, or, you know, I'm going to bring up something that's kind of controversial right now, which is, the data centers. I understand it's going to be in regional council tomorrow that we put a hold on anymore, because I think we understand right now we have 4 in the region, and we need to maybe think about what's the implications of that. The one that they're building out west is supposed to be gigantic, have its own electricity and its own source of water and all kinds of things. But nobody knows what the implications are of these things. So maybe it is something that we should be paying attention to.
The things you learn as a candidate or as a politician about all manner of things that you wouldn't necessarily think are related directly to municipal issues. It's incredible how much you learn.
Exactly.
So that's rewarding all by itself.
Yeah.
People may want to get involved. People may want to get not just involved with the voting process or running as a candidate, but involved with your organization.
Right. So we can have them.
Well, yes, you can contact us or get involved with us. If you'd like to volunteer with us, you can. The best way to find us is on our social media and our website. Our website is just www.runforofficewr.ca, which is a very nice way to contact us, get on our mailing list if you're interested in finding out what our next events are. The other way you can contact us is just on our social media, our Instagram, Facebook, everything is just at RunForOfficeWR.
You have all of those.
Yep.
Yes.
Run for Office is RUN, the number 4,
officewr.ca.
.ca. And our social media is just at RunForOffice, again, number 4, WR. And that's it. And come to our events. We're always open to having volunteers. We're always open to having people attend our events. We make sure that we have enough food all the time so people can come in.
And having an event with food is a big attractor.
That's one way of making politics fun, as we say. And our next event coming up is on September 4th. It's our next Friday after 5, as we like to call them, our guest speaker series, with Hans Roach, who's a counselor in Waterloo, as our main speaker.
And a candidate, too.
That's right. In October, we're going to have 2 events. We're having another of our guest speaker series, but we're also going to be having what we call our Voters' Rites of Passage. And so that's an event that we're hosting for the first time ever, and it's basically a I voted for the first time party. A lot of our high school volunteers are going to turn 18, and so they'll be able to vote then. It's our way of congratulating them for voting, but also the amount of community members that we've spoken with who haven't voted before, and are, you know, gearing up to vote in this election. It's our way of celebrating them, saying, well, you know, good job,
we'll feed them.
Good. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the next big thing coming up is happening where?
It's going to be at the University of Waterloo. It's going to be in EC5, September 4th, the building. That's 305 Phillips Street. And it's just going to be on the second floor of the EC5 building.
Okay. What time?
5 to 7 p.m.
5 to 7 p.m. on?
Friday.
Friday.
The 4th of September.
Friday the 4th of September. We'll have it all on our show notes, which you can see at radiowaterloo.ca/CCC.
You can also find it on our website and our social media as well.
We want to thank you for your time today.
Yes.
And we know that it's meaningful participation is what we're encouraging people to look for, and to know that there is meaningful participation out there. We are trying to be one of the entrance ways for you to find that.
Exactly.
That we would love you to volunteer to help somebody in their campaign, even if you don't want to run.
Right.
But you might be able to help somebody else be successful.
Thank you, Marcia.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lulia.
Thank you, Bob.
Marcia and Lulia from Run for Office WR. You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections for the 10th of August, 2026. My name is Bob Jonkman. CKMS Community Connections is sponsored by Radio Waterloo. We air every Monday at 3 p.m. I'll be back next week.